A Mud Podcast presents.
Hello, you all. I am Doro.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Sheila. This is The Choice Is Yours, our monthly show about consumers' choices. And we think that if we are all better informed about the products we are going to consume, then we will be able to make better choices for our own health, for the planet, and for other human beings and other beings on this planet. Other years on this day, we've covered topics such as turkey, cranberries, pumpkins, and, you know, some of the other things that maybe you're at home cooking right now.
So this year we had to talk about the base, the must, the solid foundation of our gratitude meal. Ladies and gentlemen, the potato.
You mean the foundation of humanity? Potatoes are among many edible crops that emerged at the dawn of modern human civilization and managed to spread across the entire world.
You know where it comes from, no? Yeah, right. Ireland. No. Okay, so initially that was an indigenous flowering plant from South America and the Andes Mountains.
Yeah, more than 4,000 varieties of native potatoes grow in the Andean highlands of Peru, Bolivia, and Ecuador. Selected over centuries, some say 10,000 years, for their taste, texture, shape, and color, these potato varieties are very well adapted to the harsh conditions that prevail in the high Andes at altitudes around 13,000 feet high. And there, the farmers, they generally produce these native varieties with minimal or no use of agrochemicals. Very cool.
Yeah, and diversity there is conserved on farms and in communities for subsistence use and as a highly valued heritage. Most of these varieties never see a market. They are traded among highland and lowland communities, and they are even given as gifts for weddings and other occasions.
Wow, that's beautiful. For centuries after they were introduced then to Europe and North America, potatoes, they represent one of the most important parts of the world's cuisine. And they are the fourth largest food crop in the entire world, following maize, rice, and wheat. And today, they still exist over 1,000 different types of potatoes that are grown all over the world.
Think about it next time you go to the supermarket and have the choice between the same three varieties as always. Maybe that can motivate you to garden, to experiment with more types of potatoes.
Yeah, I like that. And potatoes were used by the Inca to measure time by correlating it to the time it took to cook them. They would boil potatoes and use the cooking time as a unit of measurement. And this method was one of many ways the potato was central to Andean culture, serving as a food source, medicinal tool, and even having a goddess dedicated to it. The Inca potato goddess is Ashomama, a deity responsible for the fertility and abundance of potato crops. She is considered a daughter of the Mother Earth, Pachamama, and was crucial to the Incas, who depended heavily on potatoes for sustenance. Villagers would often worship uniquely shaped potatoes as her representatives to ensure a good harvest.
I love to know that. Achomama, the goddess of the Inca potato. Nice.
I know. That's awesome. I love that. By the way, does everyone know which family the potato is part of?
Solanaceae?
Yeah, Solanaceae family. Thank you. This is also the family that tomatoes are in.
And you can guess it when you see the plant grow. The leaves and the flowers are quite similar, but not the structure of the plant.
Yeah, also, okay, if you need positivity and hope in your life, have a little idea. You go to Google and you ask to see a photo of Peruvian potatoes varieties. You'll see the impressive shapes and colors. It's just amazing what nature can do.
We're going to move on now and talk about the nutritional aspects of potatoes, because in that realm, there is a bounty of nutritional aspects.
Yeah, potatoes are actually some of the most nutritionally dense foods in existence, providing not only carbohydrates, but also protein, fiber, and all nine amino acids.
It's not just that potatoes can provide all this nutrition either. It's the fact that they are able to do so at an extremely low cost. While they are not the cheapest vegetable per serving, that honor goes to carrots, they do provide the highest nutritional value per penny compared to every other produce.
Yeah, this is from a study that was made by the National School Lunch Program when they realized that eating a wide variety of vegetables is a good way to improve dietary nutrient density without consuming excess calories. They realized that in 2010.
Well, it's about time. Yeah, we know veggies are good. They're cheap and full of most nutrients that you need.
And water-wise, so let's compare potatoes to with rice. So rice is also a staple crop all across the world, and it requires as much as 2,500 liters of water per kilogram. Potatoes, on the other hand, are much more resource efficient. A kilogram of potato requires only 287 liters of water, and that's just over a tenth of what's needed for the same amount of rice. So a greater yield of potatoes can also be grown in a smaller space.
Cool. Another benefit to the potato is that it can thrive in multiple environments. While potatoes prefer direct sunlight and thorough hydration, they can also adapt to lower light conditions, they can tolerate droughts, they can be grown in both warm and cooler climates. Provided that they are protected from freezing or other environmental extremes, they're good anywhere.
This versatility allows for potatoes to be grown in dozens of countries all over the world. Potato farms can be found in areas as diverse as the mild and rainy landscapes of Ireland to the deserts of Morocco. NASA has even experimented with growing potatoes in Martian soil in the hopes that this versatile crop will feed hypothetical interplanetary colonies in the future.
Well, not real Martian soil, we're not there yet. But scientists have successfully grown potatoes in simulated Martian soil conditions, demonstrating that certain potato varieties can sprout and produce tubers in that type of conditions. However, growing potatoes on the actual Martian surface remains challenging due to the harsh environmental factors like low temperatures and high salinity that happens in that planet. You remember it was shown in the movie The Martian with Matt Damon.
All right, I got to check
Yeah.
that one out. Haven't seen it yet.
Really growing 3 years of potatoes in his spaceship and surviving on potatoes. It's kind of
Oh,
cool.
see. All right, very cool. Sustainability is another big feature that is absolutely vital to modern crops, as farms will need to be able to meet an increasing population's growing demand for nutrition. We've already mentioned that potatoes require less land and water than other staple crops. Another factor that contributes to their sustainability is their reduced carbon footprint. So, potatoes require less energy to plant and harvest than many other crops due to the simple fact that they do not need to be planted as deeply in the soil.
They also keep better than other crops and have lower energy requirements in regard to storage. After they've been harvested, potatoes require a cool, dry space for storage, as opposed to the energy-intensive refrigeration demands of many other crops. They also have a reduced risk of spoilage when transported over long distances, meaning that a single farm can feed communities for thousands of miles in every direction.
That's pretty amazing. Potatoes are the most popular vegetable consumed in the US, with an average American eating a whopping 49 pounds per year. Potatoes have earned an unfair reputation of being an unhealthy food when it's just the opposite. This may be due to the way that they're often consumed in the US, deep fried or slathered in butter and sour cream.
Yeah, and underneath this variety of condiments that potatoes often come along with, they do contain a few different antioxidants, which is great. They include vitamin C and they include quercetin, and they can help fight free radicals and inflammation in our bodies. They also contain anti-inflammatory plant compounds such as phenolic acids, flavonoids, and anthocyanins.
Yeah, and the vitamin C in potatoes also helps support the immune system. Medium baked potato with skin gives you 18% of the daily value in vitamin C needed. Just one medium baked potato.
Amazing. And depending on their growing environment, preparation methods, and genetic makeup, different varieties of potatoes offer distinct anti-inflammatory and nutritional benefits. For example, purple and red potatoes are particularly high in anti-inflammatory compounds called polyphenols.
Potatoes have 1.1 milligram of iron per serving. This is 6% of the daily value and more than half the amount that is in a 3 ounce beef patty. Iron is involved in making proteins that then carry oxygen throughout our body, including to our muscles.
And potatoes also have 0.2 milligrams of vitamin B6 per serving, which is 10% of the daily value. And it's considered to be a good source of vitamin BC, which plays an important role in carbohydrate and protein metabolism, as well as production of neurotransmitters. B6 promotes brain health and can help improve moods.
Eating your potatoes cold has an additional advantage, especially if you're a potato lover who happens to be watching your blood sugar. When potatoes are cooked and then cooled, some of their starch is converted into a fiber called resistant starch.
Resistant starch passes undigested to the colon and it feeds beneficial gut bacteria. Because it resists digestion, then this resistant starch is classified as a dietary fiber, and then it has minimal impact on our blood glucose.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. So I understand here that a potato salad is good for transit, as maybe a warmed mashed potato is not.
Yeah, so I tried to find that out if that was as simple as that. I couldn't find like a proper answer. But I don't know. Personally, I regularly feel bloated after mashed potato and never after potato salad. Okay, but maybe that's because I eat too much mashed potato because my husband makes it so good. Or I don't know, because when our friend Ray makes his potato salad, I eat a ton of it too, and I don't feel bloated. So I don't know. It needs to be tasted more scientifically, I guess.
Thank you for all of those men making us amazing food. We appreciate it.
I always feel so good after I eat any kind of potato.
I do too.
However, for some reason, it's like I feel the energy from it. It's not the kind of food that I'm just like laying there feeling ill after. I'm like, I feel all my whole life, it's just been one of those foods for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's see here. They're also rich in different types of fiber in addition to this resistant starch. In total, a medium baked potato with skin, it gives you 4 grams of fiber. And remember that we need about 30 grams a day. So 4 grams per potato, that's not bad at all. Pretty
No,
good.
it's not. And they're also, potatoes are rich in potassium, which is an electrolyte that many of us don't get nearly enough of. Potassium is one of the major electrolytes that we lose in sweat, and it also supports healthy muscle and heart function. One medium baked potato with skin provides roughly 20% of your daily dose of potassium.
That's super cool. I had no idea that there was potassium in potatoes. That was interesting to find out. It also contains a small amount of magnesium. This is another needed electrolyte. And if you add a sprinkle of salt to your baked or roasted potato, this can serve as this whole food electrolyte booster.
Wow. So you may have heard that all the nutrients in potatoes are found in the peel, but that's only partly true. Most of the potatoes' vitamin C and potassium are actually found in the flesh. The flesh also provides roughly half of the potato's fiber. So eating the whole potato with the skin gives you the most nutrition, but peeled potatoes still deliver plenty of the valuable nutrients.
Perhaps the least known fact about potatoes is that they contain all 9 essential amino acids that our body needs to synthesize protein. Potato protein may be a valuable complement to other plant protein isolates because it contributes leucine, which many other plant-based proteins are low in. And this may bode well for muscle building, as leucine is an amino acid known for its muscle-stimulating properties. In fact, research has found that potato protein isolates can stimulate muscle protein synthesis at levels comparable to milk protein.
And since one medium baked potato with skin only provides about 4 grams of protein, this doesn't exactly qualify as a high protein food, but I mean, every bit little bit counts when you're eating, a variety in your diet.
So, in conclusion, potatoes are loaded with benefits. Over 4,000 varieties grown worldwide, our presence in countless global cuisine. I mean, I don't know, maybe 1,000 worldwide. And if you specifically go to the Andes, you'll find these 4,000 varieties. So, whether you like it baked, roasted, or tossed into a salad, potatoes are a nutrient-dense vegetable that's worthy of a place on your plate.
So, we also have to be careful. There are some GMO potatoes in the States. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I really wonder why they had to modify one unnaturally when they could have investigated these 4,000 varieties available in Peru. But let's see. Okay, let's give it a chance.
All right. So, the genetically modified innate potato was approved by the USDA and the FDA through in 2014 and 2015. The cultivar was developed by Simplot Company. It is designed to resist black spot bruising, browning, and to contain less of the amino acid aspargine that turns into acrylamide during the frying of potatoes. So acrylamide is a probable human carcinogen, so reduced levels of it in fried potato foods is desirable.
All right, well, that seems great, and even better because this cultivar does not contain any genetic material from any other species, and the genes used are innate potatoes. So the genetic modification is only to switch off genes.
Yeah, the innate potato is not even just a single cultivar. It's rather a group of potato varieties that have had the same genetic alteration applied using the same process. Okay, so five different potato varieties have been transformed, creating the innate versions of the variety with the same engineering into it, right? So that's the Ranger Russet, the Russet Burbank, and the Atlantic potatoes that have been transformed by Simplot, and there are also two proprietary varieties, but like I didn't even find their name on internet, so I guess they're not even cultivated much. So the ones to remember are Ranger Russet, Russet Burbank, and Atlantic. They're innate versions.
Okay, and what if you want to avoid eating genetically modified organisms? Like, how do you recognize a GMO potato?
Yeah, so for starter, you can avoid any potatoes labeled white russet because for now in the produce section, they are being sold with in a bag labeled white russet potatoes.
Okay.
And if history has taught us anything, contamination is likely to be an issue at one point. So it may be best to avoid those russet potatoes altogether, unless they are organic or if they are the red russet variety.
Another option is to check for spots. From the outside, these genetically modified potatoes look similar to their russet non-GMO counterparts, except the white russet should not have any of the common spottings you would see on a russet potato. If peeled or cut in half, a non-GMO russet potato will begin to develop browning and dark spots within a minute or two.
All right, good tip.
But the real question is, should we avoid GMO potatoes? Should we avoid GMO in general? I don't know. You know what? I'm not sure anymore. I was listening to one of my favorite French environmental podcasts a few days ago, and the scientist there was saying that after we've been feeding GMO crops to our cows for 30 years now, I mean, it started to appear everywhere in the States, in Brazil and Argentina and stuff in 95. So that's 30 years of GMO. And there's still no proof that it is bad for our health or the one of the cows. So Okay, maybe I've been too harsh on the GMOs. I mean, for sure, it's bad for the environment. I don't come back on that, that's for sure, because it's GMO, and most of the time, the GMOs are genetically modified to resist the glyphosate. So, because they are resistant to glyphosate, there is usually way more glyphosate on those modified crops. And I think just naturally, like most of you, I'm just afraid of bioengineering. But it's true that 30 years, and we still don't see cows with holes in their tits, like it was said at the beginning. Like, it's not true. It didn't happen. So maybe I was too alarmist. I don't know. Those GMO potatoes may not be that bad, but personally, I want to avoid them.
I mean, how could that be measured too, even? I'm just curious, like, how do they? And how do we know like how long it takes for the it's just I wonder how they test that.
And I don't have a
And
lot of
also,
faith in the funding going towards how GMO is affecting our health negatively. So,
yeah, and
yeah,
for
all
example, there is more and more kids with ADHD, let's say. Well, maybe that comes from the GMO. What do we know? Like,
right.
there's so many different environmental things that could come into ADHD, for example. Maybe it is GMO and it hasn't been proven. I don't know. I was just surprised to hear a more reassuring message by a scientist, a French scientist that I respect and in a program that I trust. That's my only little doubt here. Anyway.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support People Powered Radio at kmud.org.
We want to remind you that The Chase Is Yours is a collaboration between three friends, Doro, Sheila, and Danny, and that we are not journalists. We don't do scientific studies. We don't do investigative journalism. We only do internet research and we try to select the information we think is true. But we encourage you to do your own research.
Yeah, absolutely. Go out there, check it out yourself.
So let's talk about the scale of the potato phenomenon now in the States. Today, potatoes are grown on a 1.3 million acres in the US with over 45 billion pounds produced annually, including 2.6 billion pounds of potatoes being sold at McDonald's to make fries.
Oh, that's a funny number. About one potato out of 20 produced in the States go to McDonald's. Okay.
Wow. And we found an article from an Idaho newspaper in 2018 that was saying during the year, McDonald's purchased 271 million pounds of Idaho potatoes and 58 million
Jesus.
pounds of cheese and 15 million pounds of beef, 6 million pounds of sugar, and 2 million pounds of onions from Idaho producers.
Oh my God. Do you imagine being a buyer working at McDonald's? You have to find so many tons of product. It's like amazing. I never thought about it in that angle. That's funny. Okay, so yeah, for sure, McDonald's is a driver of production and economy, but to what price to the environment?
Yeah, so one of our favorite journalists and authors that we've spoken about on the show before, Michael Pollan, he explains how McDonald's uses only russet Burbank potatoes. This is a potato in America that's usually unusually long and it's difficult to grow. McDonald's further insists that their potatoes have no blemishes at all, which is hard because these potatoes commonly suffer from what is referred to as net necrosis, which causes these unwanted spots and lines on the potatoes. And if then they have this, McDonald's won't buy them. And the only way to eliminate this is through the use of a pesticide called methimidofos, which is also called monitor. And this is so toxic that the farmers who then grow these potatoes in Idaho, they won't venture outside and into their fields for 5 days after they spray.
Boy.
Yeah. And when McDonald's is ready to harvest their potatoes, they have to put them in giant atmospheric control sheds, like the size of football stadium, because they are not edible for 6 weeks. They have to off gas all the chemicals in them. Michael
Oh,
Pollan is saying that.
yeah. Anyway, today we don't care because we are talking about potatoes. We're going to be cooking at home, right? And maybe one day we should do a show about fast food, but for now we'll be talking about potatoes that you have access to and that you can cook yourself. Anyway, the po leading potato producing states is.
Idaho, you knew that. Okay. But Washington State is producing nearly as much as Idaho. And then there is Wisconsin, Oregon, and North Dakota. So these states benefit from a combination of favorable climate conditions, fertile soils, well-established agriculture infrastructure that support that large-scale cultivation of potato, and also some rain in the spring. Oh, yeah, so large scale, right? That means monoculture, people, right? When you hear large scale, you can traduce in your mind monoculture. Yeah, potatoes in this country are grown in monoculture. We saw it coming, realizing that we always have the same three or five varieties in the supermarket. Yeah, basically, let's think about it. When you go to the supermarket, what do you have? Russet Burbank, the red potato, and the Yukon yellow potato, right? Sometimes, do you find sometimes this russet Norcota or that little round potato?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I've seen the others.
So here we go, monocropping.
Our advice here is on the choice is yours is to try and consume other varieties when you find some because a varied food is good for your gut, but also to say to the market that we like varieties and we don't like monocropping.
Yeah, and an example of monocropping, especially when it comes to potatoes, was the Irish potato famine in the 1840s. The Irish, they relied heavily on a single variety of potato. This was known as the Irish lumper. This was genetically identical to its progenitor. This lack of genetic variation then made the potatoes vulnerable to this potato disease called Phytophthora infestans. This was so sad. This decimated the crop and it led to then widespread starvation. This resulted in the death of millions of people and then mass emigration of Irish people, throughout the world following that. So families being separated and millions dying.
The lessons learned from this historical event highlight the importance of diversifying crops to ensure food security and sustainability in agriculture.
And later, scientists identified resistant genes in a potato from South America, where farmers have preserved the genetic variation of potatoes by growing many cultivated varieties alongside the potato's wild cousins.
Despite the warnings of evolution and history, much agriculture continues to depend on genetically uniform crops. The widespread planting of a single corn variety contributed to the loss of over $1 billion worth of corn in 1970 when the US crop was overwhelmed then by a fungus.
Yeah, and you remember in the 80s, dependence about a single type of grapevine root forced California grape growers to replant maybe 2 million acres of vines when a new race of pest insect, a grape phylloxera, attacked in the 80s. You remember that?
A nice crossover from our last show on biofuels, potato waste is being used to create biogas. Potato juice and other starchy side streams can be converted efficiently into biogas with methane yields boosted by their readily degradable carbohydrates and proteins.
Yeah, and large potato processors increasingly combine high-rate anaerobic digesters with post-treatment steps, digesting the bulk of the organic pollution load and generating biogas for steam and electricity on site.
This resulting digest state that once dewatered then can serve as a soil conditioner and partial fertilizer substitute, closing nutrient loops back to agriculture.
Love that. And
Yeah.
biogas, potato side streams can be upgraded via fermentation into higher value platform chemicals, which are the basic building blocks for packaging, textiles, solvents, and specialty chemicals.
And the potato peels and starch have become popular substrates for experimental bioplastic and films, precisely because they are abundant, cheap, and food grade.
So we ought to wonder, what are the pesticides found on potatoes? Well, potatoes joined this year's Dirty Dozen in 12th place. This is the EWG, which is the Environmental Working Group's grading system that we talk about regularly on here.
Yeah, the reason why potatoes are now in the list of the 12 dirtiest vegetables is the high concentration in chlorprofen. This is a plant growth regulator which is banned in the European Union since 2017 due to health concerns, but still allowed in the States to prevent potatoes from sprouting during storage.
Yes, from 2022 to 2023, the Department of Agriculture collected and tested more than 1,000 samples of potatoes. They washed and they scrubbed the samples, and then they tested for pesticide residues. And 90% of the samples contained residues of this chlorprofen.
Oh
And the
no.
concentrations were twice the level that the Environmental Protection Agency recommended, and this was after washing and
That's
scrubbing the potatoes.
awful. Wow.
Yeah, that's scary.
Despite the prevalence of chlorprofen on potatoes and the high consumption rates in the US, there are no studies assessing the effects of chlorprofen exposure on people. But a study of over 2,000 people from five European Union countries before chlorprofen was phased out in the EU identified chlorprofen as the most frequently detected pesticide in human urine samples, with higher concentrations observed in children than in adults.
And the risks of that product are changes in blood cells and harm to the thyroid. There's also a peer-reviewed studies that suggest that the chlorprofen may have hormone-disrupted properties through, but more research is needed.
Wow. So organic potatoes do not allow the use of chlorprofen, obviously. But the USDA tests of 28 organic samples of potatoes found residues on 12. This is likely due to cross-contamination during storage with non-organic potatoes, but with a much lower concentration.
Yeah, so once again, the solution is, if you can afford it, to consume your potatoes organic. And anyway, always wash them before using them.
Yeah, and grow your own.
Grow your
own. Great solution.
Grow 30 different varieties, some blue ones, purple ones, and have fun with it. I've never been lucky with potatoes in my garden, but
Oh,
well.
really?
Nah.
Okay. Well, this is going to be your year after the show. You're call you yes, the call on the goddess.
Yes, Ashamama will help you. Yes.
Asho Mama, please bless Dorothy with a bounty of potatoes.
Yes.
We honor you. Yes, that would be amazing.
They're coming up like weeds in the garden that I take care of here. Like, can't get rid of them. And they're just like little fingerling potatoes and all different types, but it's great.
It's so fun. I never had the experience of growing potatoes until moving to Humboldt County, and it was so exciting to like dig around and find
Yes,
potatoes.
I know. It's kind of like treasure hunting, and you get to excavate them, and it's like
Yeah.
very fun. Around the world, pioneering potato farmers are demonstrating that regenerative systems can work, even for potatoes.
In North America, leading processors and buyers, McCain Foods, they have set ambitious regenerative targets. In 2021, McCain pledged that by 2030, 100% of its global potato acreage would be grown using regenerative practices. The company is now working closely with farmers to test, refine, and scale these systems.
In Europe, regenerative potatoes initiatives are underway in the Netherlands, in the UK, Germany, and France. And the Dutch growers are pioneering strip cropping system. So that means that combine potatoes with companion crops and pollinator strips to enhance the soil and ecosystem health.
In
That's cool.
Australia and New Zealand, regenerative potato efforts are also gaining traction, with particular emphasis on soil carbon and water management in fragile environments. Meanwhile, in Africa and parts of Latin America and South Asia, regenerative potato farming is being integrated with smallholder resilience programs aiming to improve food security and restore degraded lands.
And this transition is not without its challenges. Regenerating degraded soils takes time, and the growers must adapt practices to local conditions. But the early results are promising. Healthy soil means there's going to be healthier potatoes, greater resilience, and more sustainable profit margins.
Let's get into some surprising and fun, helpful ways that potatoes can be used besides eating.
All right, so you could use a potato as a polishing agent. You use the water left behind after boiling potatoes to remove tarnish from silver without the use of abrasives.
Wow, it's also used as a rust remover. You could use a potato, cut it in half, to remove rust from your cooking utensils or your gardening tools. The acid in the potato helps dissolve the rust, and then you're going to have more cleaning power if you sprinkle some salt on the surface.
Okay, another little tip that's very funny to prevent fogging. So you have to cut a potato in half and rub the inside of the potato on your goggles, for swimming, skiing, snorkeling. That prevents the condensation from forming. So you got some fog-free goggles with a potato. I love it. The same method can be used to keep your car's windshield windows and even your glasses clear of fog.
That's a fun one. It can also be used as a leather polish. So you can slice a potato in half and rub it directly on the leather. And almost immediately you'll notice that the leather has a dull appearance. But if you set it aside for about 5 minutes and then wipe it down with a soft brush or clean cloth, it apparently works wonders.
Yeah, and have you ever added too much salt to your soup? I have. And
Yes.
if so, all you need to do is add a few raw potatoes and you simmer for about 10 minutes, and then the potatoes are going to absorb the salt.
Right. Another one, because potatoes keep their temperature very well, you can also use potato slices in a sock to make hot and cold compresses to relieve pain and aches.
And this one's fun. You can use potatoes to stretch your shoes. To do this, peel a
Wow.
potato and shape it to fit the toe box and stuff it snugly into the shoe overnight. The potato size and starch will help gently widen the shoe, providing a little extra space by morning.
I love all this. This is so great. You could also use potatoes to reduce puffy eyes if you have swelling around your eyes. The raw chilled potatoes are a popular home remedy for reducing this under-eye puffiness. It could also help with dark circles. This is attributed to their anti-inflammatory properties, the high water content, and natural astringent effects, which then help constrict blood vessels and tighten the skin. And the best way to do this is to slice a potato in half and then to place the halves over your eyes for about 20 minutes. And then just repeat this process on a regular basis, and you will be sure to notice a difference. So try it out. I'm gonna try it.
Wow.
Sounds like fun.
You can also use potatoes as a fertilizer by creating a liquid solution from potato water or making a compost mix with potato peels to make a liquid fertilizer. Cool and strain the water from the boiled potatoes, then dilute it and pour it on the base of your plants for nutrients like potassium and magnesium. Alternatively, you can soak potato peels in water for a few days strain them and use the nutrient-rich waters, and add peels and other vegetable scraps to your compost, obviously, to decompose them before using them.
And one of the most well-known benefits of raw potato for skin is its ability to provide relief from sunburn. The cooling and anti-inflammatory properties of raw potato can help to reduce redness, pain, and swelling associated with sunburn. Applying slices of raw potato directly to the affected area or using potato juice compress can provide immediate relief.
Very cool. And now I'm putting it together a little bit because when we did a show on tomatoes, which, are in the same family as potatoes, tomatoes are also beneficial in relieving sunburn. So,
Wow, interesting.
yeah, I just put that together now. And I have used tomatoes in the past, which have been really helpful. And now I'm going to use potatoes because I definitely, from time to time, get a little burn. And in addition then to the sunburn relief, you could use raw potatoes to help soothe other types of skin irritation, such as insect bites or rashes, and even you could use it for minor burns.
Yeah,
Very cool.
potato compresses have been used for hundreds of years to draw out infection and relieve inflammation. A poultice can be made by grating or chopping a raw potato, then wrapping it in a gauze and placing it over the affected area.
And a simpler way to use potatoes to help heal cuts or bites that have become infected, particularly ones around or beneath the nails, is to place a few slices of raw potato over the infected area and holding it in place with tape. And if you leave it on overnight and replace it with a fresh potato during the day, depending on the infection, it'll usually draw out the pus within 1 to 3 days. That's pretty cool.
Wow, just like clay would do, but cheaper.
Right. And I just love it because it's like most people at some point or another like have potatoes at their house. So it's just like another staple to have on hand, in emergencies or just as needed. It's like we have so many natural medicines around us.
Yes, it's so empowering to know that you can help yourself when you're in pain with just some things that are in your cupboard and needing some relief. So, potatoes is a great one for that.
Okay, so that's all we got about potatoes. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Gamer. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, until we meet again.
This has been a K-Mite podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.